invite you now to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms and Psalm 49. We're going to consider Psalm 49 together this morning. There is a simple outline in your bulletins if you'd like to use that this morning. I'm going to read Psalm 49 in its entirety, and we're going to give our attention to it together this morning. So please hear now once again the word of our God. To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice. That he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling place to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Selah. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Selah. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Let's stop and pray together and ask for God's help as we hear his word. Father in heaven, we do ask for your help now as we hear your word. We ask that you would give us ears to hear. We ask that your Holy Spirit would take up his sword and do a work in our hearts. Lord, we've just sung that you are sun and shield. You are the source of light and life, and you are our protection and our salvation. And so we ask now that you would speak to us and enable us to hear. Give us faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray this all in his name. Amen. Listen up right now. Everyone in the world, everyone in this room, everyone needs to hear this. That's how this psalm starts, with a universal call to listen, to pay attention, because the psalmist has some wisdom to share that everyone needs. And they're speaking to a universal audience here in Psalm 49, not just to the Israelites, not just to the people of God, but everyone, people all over the world, low and high, rich and poor. Listen again to the opening verses. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. The words and the wisdom of Psalm 49 could not be more relevant to people everywhere, of every position, of every time and place, and that includes you and me here this morning. Psalm 49 is going to solve or open up a riddle with this poetic song. It's going to present a problem, but it's also going to drive us to a solution. And the problem, I think it was probably obvious as I read it, the problem is death. Death. And the solution that Psalm 49 shows, the way of wisdom, is not found with man, but it's found with God. And so the sons of Korah writing this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, call you to wisdom. They call you to put your faith in God's solution to the problem, to the riddle of death. And to do that, they're going to show the reality of death. They're going to show us the foolishness of man's answers, man's solutions. Not all of the wealth and wisdom of the world can answer death. But then in contrast to that, they're going to proclaim the good news. They're going to show us that God does have an answer. God will provide an escape, a rescue, a ransom. He will pay the great price. And so this psalm calls you, it calls all people to turn away from the foolishness of the world and in wisdom to trust in God's solution for death. Live by faith in Him. Look to His ransom. Instead of living in fear of death or according to the folly of man or for the wealth or praise of man, live with hope and peace and joy, trusting in God's ransom from death. That's the way of wisdom that you are called to by this psalm. Trust that God can and will ransom you from death, ultimately through Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. And so, friends, the encouragement, the wisdom, the call from God here in Psalm 49 is to live with hope in the ransom of Jesus. In the face of death, the only answer for death is the ransom of Jesus. And so put your faith in Him. Live with hope in the ransom that He has paid. Well, let's listen up as the opening line calls us to do. Let's listen closely together to this psalm. And I want us first to see how the sons of Korah, the authors here, want you to wrestle with the reality of death. They want us to wrestle with the reality of death. It's as if they say in this psalm, let's all be honest about death. Let's be honest about death. They give something of a wake-up call. Let's be honest that death is certain for all. Let's be honest about the certainty of death. Listen to what they say in verses 7 through 10. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. You can't pay your way out of death. No one can live forever and never see the pit, never see death. Both the wise and the not so wise die. And verse 12 says, man will not remain. He's like the beasts that perish. Death is certain. There are no survivors in this life. The wisdom of man, all the wealth of man offers no solution. And this is obvious. Everybody can see this. This is known by all, the psalmist says. And yet, who actually reckons with this? Who is honest about this? Who gives this serious thought? Who has an answer for it? When was the last time you thought about the certainty of death? When was the last time you thought about the certainty of your own death, should Christ not return before that? We do not live forever. The rich, the poor, the wise, the foolish, they all have this in common. And Psalm 49 wants us to be honest about this, wrestle with the certainty and the universality of death. It's coming for all of us. And Psalm 49 is not just wanting to be morbid or put a damper on life. It is wanting to be brutally honest. It wants us to not deny this, but look it in the face, but also see that there's hope. It does not end in death. Life does not end in death for the wise, for those who trust in God. But to get there, you have to first be honest. You have to wrestle with the reality of this. You have to see the problem before seeking the solution. And so Psalm 49 is honest about death, its certainty. It's honest about death's finality, the permanence of it. There's no stopping death. There's no backtracking from it. Once you're dead, you're dead. Listen to verse 11 again. Their graves are their homes forever. Their dwelling places to all generations, though they call lands by their own names. Once you enter the grave, you can't get out. And listen to verse 14. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. Death is like a shepherd that gathers us all in like sheep. We are all appointed to Sheol. And you'll see that word several times in this psalm. That's the Hebrew word, the Hebrew concept for death. Sheol, the grave, the realm of the dead, the pit to which the non-living descend and never escape. It's the universal curse, the universal judgment that falls on all mankind because of sin. And then look at verse 17 and following. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him, for though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light. Psalm 49 finishes by saying, you may have a good life. You may be rich. You may be smart. You may be famous. But you're going to die and never again see the light. You get to take none of your glory, none of your riches with you because death is final and permanent. And that's really the first part of this proverb. That is the word of wisdom that you and all people need to hear. You need to reckon with the reality of death. And this word of wisdom is not pleasant, is it? It's not what we want to be thinking about on a bright, beautiful summer morning. It's not what we like to hear. Death is dreadful. It's a terrifying reality. Hebrews 2 says, all men are slaves to the fear of death. We don't like thinking about it. It's sad, it's depressing, it's terrifying. Death is not natural. It is the result of sin and the fall. It is the curse of God. But we need to acknowledge it. We need to be honest about it. Are you? Are you wrestling with the reality of death? Have you reckoned with the reality of death? Do you know that you are going to die sooner or later? You need to, because you need to know what to do about it. You need to not be hopeless. There is a solution. There is salvation. And that's where Psalm 49 is going to lead us. But first, it's going to show us what not to do. It's going to speak to some of the foolish answers to death, some of man's answers that are empty and do not work. And so second, Psalm 49 calls you to realize and to admit and to see that man really has no answer. Man in himself has no answer for the curse and the horror and the finality of death. Man has no answer. Look again at verse 7. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. We need to all see that man has no answer. There is nothing he can pay. There is no solution for death. He cannot ransom. He cannot redeem. He cannot pay to secure the rescue or freedom of another or himself from death. And Psalm 49 goes on and makes the point that even the wealthiest in this life end up homeless. Even the richest end up with nothing. They die and they take nothing with them. None of their wealth, none of their earthly glory or riches. And they might have lands to their name. They might have real estate named after them, but the grave will be their final permanent home. Look at verse 11 again. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter what you may own now, the only permanent real estate a man can own is his grave. And then look at verse 12 through 13. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. And yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Man in his pomp. That is man in himself, as honorable as he could be to his peers, as wealthy, as powerful, as wise as he could get, still just dies like beasts. Man has no solution. All he trusts in, wealth, honor, wisdom, the praise of man, is all just a foolish confidence. In verse 14, their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. Psalm 49 is almost graphic. They'll decompose. They'll waste away in the grave. They will die like dogs, like the beasts. And so this psalm is a warning. It's a warning to us. It's a warning to all people. Don't let this be your answer for death. Don't get sucked into this. Don't be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. Verse 16, that ultimately gets you nothing. That does nothing for the universal problem of death. You cannot take any of it with you. Don't be impressed or intimidated by wealth, by earthly pomp. That gets you nowhere. That has no answer for death. It's a foolish confidence. Don't live for it. Don't be afraid when you don't have it. You can't get around death, no matter how wise or powerful or wealthy you are. You cannot buy your way out of death. You cannot buy anyone else out. Not with all the money in the world. Not with all the good works in the world. Man in himself has no answer for death. Man on his own is lost and without hope. And even if he tries to ignore the reality of death and push it off, in his heart he knows it. Do you see the folly and emptiness of living this way, looking to man, looking to money as an answer? It doesn't work. And everybody knows that. Man in his pomp is like a beast that perishes. You will simply die like an animal. It's not me saying that. This is God's word. You're going to die like an animal without understanding this, without seeing this, without walking in the way of wisdom, without putting your trust in God instead of yourself, instead of wealth. That's like living like an animal, like beasts that perish, verse 20. You will die without any more understanding or wisdom than an animal. And Psalm 49 is not trying to offend. It's trying to get you to see this is the reality and to not do this. It's issuing a warning in love. Don't live this way. Recognize man has no solution. And if that's the fact, don't look to him. Don't listen to his answers, whether it's wealth or wisdom, honor and pomp. They all fail. And yet what's crazy, what is so sad and so foolish is that no one wants to hear that. Millions live this way. They're living to make a name for themselves. They're living for today, living for wealth with foolish confidence in themselves, thinking that they can buy happiness, get enough wealth or fun in this life, and that'll somehow counteract the reality and the finality of death. Or they deny death as judgment for sin. They somehow hope with no foundation that death is just the end and there's nothing after it. And so they just live for today. Is that how you are living? Is that how you deal with? Is that how you cope with the reality of death? It doesn't work. Are you living to count yourself blessed now? To get praise now? To do well for yourself, as verse 18 speaks of? And notice Psalm 49 doesn't deny you might have some good times in this life. You might fit in. You might receive praise from men. But it is not worth it. It is not an answer. It is not a solution for death. All of this so quickly ends and leaves you with nothing. Are you trusting in your wealth, in your wits, in your wisdom, in what others think of you? Are you trying to make a name for yourself? Are you trying to be a good person? Friends, none of that answers death. None of that works. None of that can free you or ransom you from death or from your sin, which is why we die. Jesus said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" The answer is man can give nothing. Man, even if he gains the whole world, will forfeit his soul apart from faith in God and God's grace and God's ransom. And so this is the warning. This is the way of the fool that Psalm 49 wants you and everyone to see and to avoid, to walk away from. Don't live this way. Don't put your faith in yourself or in man or in wealth or anything that you might be tempted to put your faith in. And that brings us to really the pivot and the high point of Psalm 49, the main point, the way of wisdom, the path of hope and life, the gospel, the good news of Psalm 49, the call third and finally to all of you to trust in God's ransom. Trust in God's ransom, his solution. See that there is an answer. There is hope. There is salvation. Look with me again at verse 15. "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me." This psalm is heavy on man has no answer. No solution for death. He cannot ransom himself or anyone else. He's a fool to think that he can. But then here in verse 15 comes the good news. A beacon of light breaks into the darkness here in verse 15, and I love how it begins, "But God. It's been saying man, 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 nothing but God. Man's wealth, man's wisdom, his ways fail. Man trusting in himself and his riches will be consumed in Sheol, but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. And here's the gospel in a nutshell in the Old Testament. A summary of the good news addressed to all peoples. The psalmist's faith was in God. And in a ransom he would pay. And he calls you and he calls me and he calls everyone to the ends of the earth to the same faith. No one can pay the price for his life. No one, no man. No one but God. God will ransom my soul. And that word ransom is a beautiful and important word. It means to redeem, to buy back, to purchase one's freedom, to secure redemption, to secure delivery by way of payment, payment of a price, payment of a ransom. How would God pay that ransom? I think most of you know the answer. He would send his very own son to this earth to live a perfect life and then to freely lay down his life for sinners, to die for sinners, to go to the cross and pay the price himself, purchase their freedom with his own blood. To be buried for 3 days and rise again, breaking the power of Sheol, freeing all who trust in him, rescuing them, ransoming them from death. God will ransom me. God has at the cross if you trust in him, if you turn away from the folly of the world to the wisdom of God, to the good news of God. God has ransomed you through the cross of Christ by paying the price, a price no man could pay, a price that could only be paid by the God-man, by the divine Son of God who took on human flesh. And so Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus is the ransom. He pays the ransom. He purchases redemption by dying for sinners and saving them not just from Sheol, not just from the grave, but from hell. And before he entered Jerusalem to do so, he spoke of this ransom in Mark 10, verse 45. He said, "The Son of Man," speaking of himself, "the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Give his life as a ransom. How does God ransom? How could God ransom a soul from Sheol? How can he ransom your soul, mine? Only through Jesus. On the cross and on that resurrection morning when Sheol could not hold him. Is your faith in him? Is your faith in God's ransom, the only ransom for death? Verse 15 again. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. He will receive me. What does that mean? Well, it means God will receive you rather than Sheol, rather than the power of death. Death will not be final. Death will not be victorious because God will receive his people. Though the body will be buried, the soul will not. The soul will go directly to God, will be immediately received by God and glory to await the resurrection. And what a contrast to the fool, the one not trusting in God, because he'll be homeless, with no place to dwell but Sheol. But the believer will be received. And this word received is rare in the Old Testament, but it's found in Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, or God received him. Death will ultimately not take the believer. Sheol and the grave will not take you, will not swallow you up if you are trusting in God. God will. God will receive you. He will welcome you. He will take you to glory, to heaven, and one day to the new heavens and the new earth with a resurrected body that will never die, that will forever be freed from the power of Sheol, the power of death and sin. Death is swallowed up in the awesome ransom of God, paid by Jesus Christ. Wow. What hope, what comfort, what peace, what an answer to death. What hope in the face of death, in the face of the wealthy and the famous and the pomp of man who trust in themselves and call you to do the same, but who have no answer. We, by the grace of God, have the answer. What have we to fear? God will ransom us through Jesus. He will receive us if our faith is in him. Verse 15 again, and kids, this would be a good one to memorize. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me, Selah. Meditate on this. Selah, we don't know exactly what that word means. It could mean repeat or pause. It may be a musical notation for an interlude, but whatever it means, I tend to think that it's meant to underline and to add emphasis to the previous line. It's meant to get us to reflect and to pause and to think. And I want us to do that with verse 15. God will receive me. God will ransom my soul from death. And we know that he does that through Jesus Christ. Is that your hope this morning? Is that good news to your ears? Are you afraid of death? Are you trusting in what you can do, what you can earn, what you can achieve? Or are you trusting in what God alone has done and will do for you? Dear friends, trust that God will ransom you. He sent his only son to be that ransom, to rescue you, to redeem you from sin and death. What good news! What a salvation! Put your faith in God and the ransom he has paid. As I've already alluded to, this psalm has been rather dark, hasn't it? Death, death, death. Foolishness, hopelessness, no answers. But then abruptly it leads us to God. But God. But God. And that reminds me of Ephesians 2, verse 4, speaking of us as dead in our sins, as children of wrath, destined for death and judgment. And then there in Ephesians 2, the light of the gospel breaks in. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Friends, the riches and pomp of man is nothing nothing compared to the riches of God's grace. Put your faith in God's riches and God's ransom, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hear this. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. Hear this, each one of you here this morning. No man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. And man in his pomp will not remain, will perish, will be consumed in Sheol. Without understanding this, without hearing and believing this wisdom, this good news from God, you will perish like the beasts. And yes, this psalm leaves us with a grave warning. Don't do it. Don't perish without understanding, without faith. But instead, hear, believe the wisdom, the good news of God. God will ransom you from death, from Sheol. He will receive you by the ransom of Jesus, by his death and burial and glorious resurrection. And so rejoice. Fear not. Put your faith in Jesus. Trust God's ransom. Do not live for the honor and the pomp and the praise and wealth of this world, which will not save you. Do not fear those who do. Do not fear death, but rejoice. Live with courage and hope and peace because of the mercy of God. Because God ransoms, he rescues sinners from death through the death of Jesus Christ. And so live by faith in him. Face death without fear. Live with hope in the ransom of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this is a sober word and a sober warning. We don't like to think about death. It is terrifying. And yet we need to, because in you there is life. And in Christ there is a ransom for sinners to save us from death and give us eternal life. And so, Lord, help each and every one of us here and many, many more to see the folly of ignoring or denying death, to see the folly of looking to man and his answers, and to see the wisdom and the glory and the good news of your solution, the one name given under heaven by which we can be saved. Let us look to Christ and the price that he has paid to give us life and freedom and hope and joy. Lord, thank you for this word. Lord, help us to hear it and not walk away and deny it and forget it. Let us live by faith in your word and in your Son. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.